Our scripture passage this morning comes from the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, verses 1 and 4 through 9. Listen, hear, and receive the word of God. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, its shalom, its peace, you shall find your welfare and peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this day and for your presence with us now. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together would be acceptable unto you. For you are indeed our rock, our redeemer. You are our shalom and our peace. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. He had three ships and left from Spain. He sailed through sunshine, wind, and rain. He sailed by night and he sailed by day. He used the stars to find his way. A compass also helped him know how to find the way to go. 90 sailors were on board. Some men worked while others snored. Then the workers went to sleep and others watched the ocean deep. Day after day they looked for land. They dreamed of trees and rocks and sand. October 12th, their dream come true. You never saw a happier crew. Indians, Indians, Columbus cried. His heart was filled with joyful pride. But India, the land, was not. It was the Bahamas, and it was hot. The Arakawa natives were very nice. They gave the sailors food and spice. This is a familiar poem. At least the first few lines were taught to children so they could remember the year that Columbus discovered America. Ah, but had we been taught the last three stanzas, we would have known the truth. Tomorrow has been designated as a day to celebrate Columbus's discovery of America. But in reality, Columbus Day has become not much more than a day to find the best sale prices and bargains on appliances, furniture, or the latest fashionable clothing. Or for some, it is a day to contemplate any number of things that have absolutely nothing to do with Columbus. And I might add, rightfully so. To declare that America was discovered by anyone of European descent is a misnomer. North America may have been newfound land to them, but from the perspective of the native indigenous people, the land was not lost. And it's virtually impossible to discover a place that is already inhabited. Now, we can argue whether this so-called discovery of newfound land by the Europeans was good or bad for humanity, but we must acknowledge that ultimately the conquest was disastrous for the millions of inhabitants who were already here. The indigenous people were exploited, their culture annihilated, their land was stolen, they were considered expendable, not fully human, savages who would either comply or be destroyed. And we know how the story ends. Those who rightly belong here were murdered, maimed, segregated, and pushed to the edges of the country where the majority still live on reservations and are still fighting for the right to live on their land, defend their artifacts and burial grounds, and preserve the natural habitat. Right now, this moment as we worship, members of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe and others who are in solidarity with them are protesting and blocking the Dakota Access Pipeline that would carry 470,000 barrels of crude oil a day across four states. The pipeline would destroy the tribe's burial and prayer sites and their culturally significant artifacts. The original inhabitants of the land of the free and the home of the brave have not known a peaceful existence in their land for a very long time. These are some of the reasons that ELP and other organizations have chosen to acknowledge Monday as Indigenous Peoples Day. Seek the welfare, the peace of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its peace, its shalom, you shall find your peace. This statement sums up God's directives to the Israelites in Babylonian captivity. Settle in, hunker down, live your lives. You're going to be here a while. And by the way, while you're here, pray for the peace of the city. Yes, pray for those you consider your captors, for in their peace you will find your peace. We can only imagine how angry and disappointed the Israelites were, exiled in a foreign land, living under Babylonian rule. They had been warned by prophet after prophet, including Jeremiah, that if they didn't turn from their wicked ways, stop running after other gods and living as others who didn't know their God, they would lose their homes, their land, and their place of worship. Now, all of these would have been devastating losses for the people who had been promised by God to inhabit a land flowing with milk and honey. The Jewish Talmud describes the land of the Israelites as so holy that merely walking in it can give you a place in the world to come. So the Israelites, they were receptive to so-called prophets who proclaimed that their captivity would be short-lived. Naturally, they wanted to go home, to return to their way of life, all that was familiar. But then along comes God's messenger. God's chosen messenger, Jeremiah, who states, "The others are false prophets. They are not the true messengers of God. And if you follow their directives, you will most assuredly suffer complete annihilation." Jeremiah's prophecy to the exiles was stunning. These are God's words to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Any anger, resentment, or upset the people may have directed towards the Babylonians were misplaced. Then the directive from God comes. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. Settle in. You're going to be here for a while. Live your lives. You might say that the Israelites were in a position to be an evangelistic movement of God while in captivity. One commentator states, both the dispossessed who had been stripped of all humanity and those possessed with oppressive powers need to hear a word about liberation and salvation. A word that moves them from being the colonized other or the colonizer towards the discovery of their redemption, even if that faith identity is based on a different religious or spiritual worldview than that of the one bringing the good news. How different America would be had those who came here seeking religious freedom had settled in, sought and lived peaceably among those who preceded them, married, had children, and shared the land, learning from one another to the mutual benefit of all, rather than drawing borders and pushing people to the fringes of the land and society, seeing them as dangerous, less than human, expendable. We've often heard that the settler stated, "We come in peace, but it appears from all that we now know they didn't necessarily seek peace. In the Lucan passage that was read by Pam, Jesus found himself on the border of those who had been pushed outside of the Jewish community between Galilee and Samaria. We know the disdain that was held by the Galileans toward their southern neighbors, the Samaritans. On this particular day, Jesus encounters 10 lepers seeking relief for their condition. In biblical times, leprosy was a scourge, and those with the disease were stigmatized by society as unclean and were relegated to live outside of the city, forced into segregation. Jesus saw the 10 as being in need of physical and spiritual healing. He instructed them to go present themselves to their priest, and as they made their way, they found that they had been healed and could now return to society without being ostracized. And yet it was the foreigner who came back to thank Jesus. Jesus freed the outcast and people deemed as expendable, the other, to peaceably enter back into community. I recently read this quote on Facebook and it struck me. Things are not getting worse. They are just getting uncovered. We must hold each other tight and continue to pull back the veil. Beloved, all the negative and hate-filled rhetoric that we are bombarded with daily, as well as the violence that is meted out against people of color, non-Christians, women, children, the LGBTQ community, and or anyone seen as different, all contributes to the unrest and anger in this country. People are still being treated as cultural lepers, as the other, who is less than. But the veil is being pulled back, and there is no peace in the city, no peace in any city. Be it Native Americans standing to protect their precious land, people of African descent declaring Black Lives Matter, families living in poverty without adequate housing, education, or opportunities for employment and earning a livable wage. Children poisoned by polluted water or land compromised by industrial waste. None of these phenomena are new. They are just being uncovered. And as they are uncovered, there is no peace. Or in the words of those who marched in the 1960s and is now being adopted by those who march today, no justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. Jeremiah instructed the exiled people of God, seek the welfare and peace of the city and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare and peace, you will find welfare and peace. Brothers and sisters, we are all pilgrims and strangers, exiled in a land that is ultimately not our home. But when we seek the peace of the city, in it we shall find our peace. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me or get it twisted. Because as the people of God, there is a place for righteous indignation. It is appropriate for us to stand up, speak out, march, and protest against injustice, inequality, degradation, and mistreatment of people, period. But we must always seek to live peaceably among all. For you see, we worship and we serve the Prince of Peace. No Jesus. No peace. No Jesus. No peace. Amen.
Please join me in a time of prayer, of intercession for ourselves and for our world. Let us pray. We bless you, O God, for your power, revealed in mighty deeds and tender mercy. We bless you, O God, for your watchful care in places of exile and at home. We bless you, O God, for your healing presence in sickness and in brokenness. We bless you And we beseech you to attend to the needs of the world, for those enslaved by all oppression, for those suffering from violence and illness we can prevent, from those at risk from famine, drought, and natural disasters. Go forth beyond this place into the world. Be with all those fleeing the recent Hurricane Matthew, from all those crossing borders under cover of darkness seeking freedom, for all those finding refuge and shelter in Aleppo and cities of bombs. We bless you, O God, and pray that you will renew all of creation, that you will end harmful habits and willful ruin, that you will remind us to be stewards, caring for all species at risk, and stewards providing for the needs of all through the bounty of this earth's resources. We bless you, O God, as we pray for the cares and the needs of our own church, for those ill this day, those recovering, those grieving. Be with Sherry and Ida and Morris, with Stephanie and Lee, with Francine and Bob and Karen, for Buzz, for Jamie, for Sandy, for Clay and Eileen, for Claire and Gail, for Karen and Louise, for Loretta and Linda, for Anthony's grandmother, for Barbara Roberts. We call out their names, and there are other names on our hearts, other griefs hidden within. But we set those before you. For we bless you as the one who knows our needs even before we ask, who intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. So, Lord, help us, we pray, in our dis-ease, in our unrest, in all the broken places of our lives, that we may return to you and to creation and to the community in joy and thanksgiving, speaking forth the good news of Christ, showing forth the love revealed in a risen Savior and a spirit that refuses to be silenced. So go with us now as we pray for the welfare of all your people, in the name of the one who came to heal and to save, Jesus the Christ, who has taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.